You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for the Rex Ryan Report, brought to you by Bud Light, as we do every week on Monday. The coach, Rex Ryan, joins us right now. Coach, how you doing? And I mean, I think it's obvious to start because your connection, Bart's connection as well, to that rivalry, Pittsburgh-Baltimore. I don't think it disappointed us as far as the game goes. It's an entertaining game, interesting game all the way down to the end. But what did you take from that? Was it more about Pittsburgh or more about Baltimore?
Well, I took it this way. I mean, look, Pittsburgh, tip your hat to them. They found a way to win the game. But they got, I mean, bludgeoned in that game. We talked about it before leading up to this game that the most physical team would win. If that was the case, Baltimore would have clearly won that game. They had twice as many yards as Pittsburgh did. They ran for a record against a Mike Tomlin defense, 266 yards rushing. And Mike Tomlin talked about it, said, hey, we respect Lamar Jackson, but we don't fear him. Well, it kind of looked like you did. But either way, the best team did not win that game. I mean, Baltimore had outplayed them so bad. But, again, it's the turnovers.
Yeah, you should have saw in our pregame meeting when I said this, like, Baltimore has them right where they want them. They looked at me like I was crazy because that was a butt-kicking. Only thing you didn't get was the W. And, you know, that's self-inflicted wounds, things that can be corrected. You talk about three turnovers, but now you have young guys to the rivalry, and they don't understand what they just set themselves up for. You know, you got Chase Poole, you got Mika blowing kisses. They're going to be on the hit list, and they're going to be targeted the next time they play. And that's going to be the time where you really want to win, because I think that's going to be potentially for the division, or that's going to be for something of importance. And the team that's going to have the edge is going to be the Baltimore Ravens. And I hope that it sparks the movement of the Costa to say, you know what, we don't have Ronnie Stanley. I thought Baby Zeus did his job in going and showing how flexible he was. He's been a left tackle his entire career, and the fact that he was able to move to the left side and kind of be seamless was amazing in itself. Speaks to the depth and Eric DeCause making sure that he has versatile players. But, you know, I hope that this means they go out and get Kenny, you corrected me, Galladay, or they go out and I would even take Golden Tate right now outside of Dez Bryant. If I can get another scrappy Steve Smith clone or somebody like that's going to fight, because you saw that, you know, he needed a slight upgrade and somebody that can make plays outside of the numbers. But you look at Lamar Jackson, it's a criticism warranted that he may not be a big game player.
Yeah, and look, I get it. I see where the conversation's going. But I mean, the only reason we're having is because they had the best record in the National Football League last year, a number one seed, and yet they got knocked out in the playoffs. So I get it, but that had nothing to do with that kid's performance. It had to do with the fact that Baltimore stopped the run that day. So when I look at it, look, this kid – the only way that's going to stop him, there's one coordinator in the league that can stop him, and that's the offensive coordinator. Let him be him. You go back, and Lamar, if it's there, take your shot. If it's not, take off with it. And if they do that, they'll be just fine. And like I said, man, here's the thing. Nobody's getting on Ben Roethlisberger. Lamar Jackson actually threw for more yards in that game than Ben Roethlisberger did. Right. So I think it's greatly, you know, over I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah, it's
overhyped, whatever it is, that it's just, I don't believe that crap. I really don't. I think this guy is a special guy, and let him be him. He's not going to be Joe Montana or, you know, Patrick Mahomes back there. He's who he is. and celebrate it and don't do just the opposite. Look, the Ravens had the blueprint. They did everything right except win on the scoreboard. And the only reason they didn't win is because of the takeaways.
Now, I have another observation. I think this team and this run game is better with live legs of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And I think that when you put Ingram in there and you force give him carries, it limits the offense because these guys look explosive. You talk about Dobbins averaging 7.5 yards a carry. You talk about Gus Edwards averaging 5.4 yards a carry. How do you have that conversation? And is Ingram a player that you consider moving? Well, I know he's injured, but is he a player that you consider moving and start giving these two young guys with much lighter legs and long speed, more opportunities and more bites at the apple?
Well, that's an interesting take, certainly. Look, I really like Mark Ingram, though. I think he's part of the solution, but I get where you're coming from. Sometimes you're going to have to give up an asset to get one, and so I could see that. But you're right, that Dobbins, they certainly hit on him. He did look explosive to me, and Gus Edwards has always been a back that you know that can function in that offense. So I get where you're coming from, but unless you get the right player, then I would keep Mark Ingram because I think he's a locker room guy. I think we don't see the entire value of Mark Ingram. I've been around this young man, and I know he's the type of guy that, yes, he's charismatic and stuff, but he's a great locker room fit. He's all about the team, and I think he's I think he's an asset to their football team.
Trader Bart's got his hat on today for sure with the trade deadline tomorrow.
Well, I told you about Avery.
Yeah, like Avery Williams.
Four weeks ago.
You know who should have taken him was Green Bay.
Yes.
Did they miss Blake Martinez? Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And Blake Martinez was the king of the 6 or 7 yard down the field tackle.
Exactly.
But my God, let's get somebody. Avery Williams, that dude's tough. I love the pickup for Pittsburgh.
How about going from 0-8 to 7-0? That's pretty good for Avery. But you know what? It might sound crazy, but I'm going to ask you anyway because it is something we've kicked around. And it's that when you're at this point where the Jets are, do you at least take a call about Sam? And if you're another team, do you call about Sam? Looking at the Jets and saying, if they finish with the worst record, which it looks like they're going to do, they're going to take Trevor. So before the deadline, do you kick it around and say, let's get him into our system, let's teach him and let's get him ready, not to try to win this year, but for the future?
I certainly understand where you're coming from because this is kind of a lost season. But, however, the value you're going to get for Sam Darnold is going to be a lot less right now than it would be, I think, if he plays well down the stretch. And this kid is a super talented young man. And let's face it, he's had, I mean, it's just really a bad luck and bad whatever with this football team. But he's still young. Like, he's super young. And that's why I think you play it out because you're going to have no chance. If you don't have Sam Darnold at quarterback, you're not going to win with Joe Flacco at quarterback.
But that's the idea, though, don't you think? If you're trading Sam, you're not trying to win.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Well, if that's the case, then go for it. But when you come back with a third-round pick, that's probably not what you want.
Yeah, I'm looking at Sam more of the Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. If you go out and get Trevor Lawrence, let him have that year. Let Trevor sit while you continue to acquire assets and then make the run for trying to do that after the trade deadline next year if, Sam Darnold can show that he's that type of player. And listen, I just want to see Sam Darnold with Crowder, with Mims, and with Perriman and just see what it looks like just once. Just once I like to see that. But I tell you what, I thought I was going to have to eat crow because it looked like the Buffalo Bills were going to lay an egg. And I had went on the tube and I said that Bill Belichick, the general manager, deserved to be fired because he's micromanaging. And when you're trying to be the head coach and the general manager, you can't do 100% for both. So something's going to go by the wayside or that great player you may not scout. I thought that maybe he should give his duties to some live set of eyes, some young eyes that can maybe be full-time general manager and evaluating players and people, and they came out the woodworks. And I was going to have to eat crow because I feel like Bill Belichick, the general manager, has did a horrible job over the last 5 years acquiring talent, not finding a Pro Bowler since 2013, taking N'Keal Harry. I can't think of one draft pick, especially in the first round, that Bill Belichick has taken in the first round that has been a shutdown player. He took Sonny Michel, but then Nick Chubb was right there. Who's the better running back right now, Nick Chubb or Sonny Michel?
Yeah, that's a great point. But you know what? You're exactly right, Bart. I mean, there's a talent for judging talent. We know Bill Belichick's got an amazing amount of talent to be a football coach. But being a talent evaluator has definitely been, he hadn't been up to speed with. I mean, let's face it, he really hadn't. So you bring up a great point there. But, you know, I think he's going to get, who's the general manager? I don't have any idea. But we all assume Belichick's making those picks, and I'm certainly assuming it. So I agree with you.
Well, because when you look at it, he's had success in taking other people's players that they discover, whether it's Gilmore, whether it's Burkhead, whether he always finds other, taking Revis, he always finds other people, players who are willing to take a hometown discount because they knew today would have a reservation in the AFC Championship game no matter what. Now that reservation isn't a given, so now players won't come there and take less because they can't make that reservation. You can't guarantee it. So that's why I said this is a bigger case for Tom Brady of being the GOAT and what he's been able to do with the talent, the hits and the misses of Bill Belichick, opposed to Bill Belichick, the general manager slash coach. I think that the case has been made that, it was more about Tom Brady and what he was able to erase opposed to Bill Belichick as the entire package.
I 100% agree. I mean, the greatest player is worth a hell of a lot more than the greatest coach. And that's the thing I've been saying for the last 3 years. I've been like, look, guys, and I get it. I recognize this is the best coach we've ever had. I recognize that. But you got Tom Brady. If I had Tom Brady, what do you think my record would be? Probably be a hell of a lot better. Look at this Bruce Arians, how good he's doing with Tom Brady. And the list would go on and on. But every single coach would be better if you had a Tom Brady. So, look, you're right. How the hell they made the – this team won a Super Bowl a couple years ago with no talent. But that tells you how great this guy is. We'll never see it again, in my opinion.
It's amazing you would say that as a coach, that a great player is more valuable than a great coach. So you like his, in different leagues, they say it, about certain leagues. Like the NBA, because there's so few players, they always say it's a star-driven league. You have stars, you're going to win. Like it doesn't matter who your coach is, basically. You need a guy who can just, manage personalities and keep everybody happy, right? I mean, in baseball, it's a little bit different. But football, I would imagine, it's the one sport where we always used to, right, Bart? We were talking about this earlier in the season, where coaching still matters more than anything. You got to have a guy who can keep a team organized, who has a system that everybody believes in, and all that stuff. But you still say, though, it does in the NFL, it's still stars.
I look at it, guys. I mean, but I'm just telling you, the player, if you got a quarterback, man, this is a quarterback driven league. There's a reason why the quarterbacks make $30 million a year and the football coach makes $5 million a year. I mean, there's a reason for it and justifiably so.
And the magic for me, Rex, is the fact not about what Tom was able to do, it's what he was able to attract. He was able to make players play for less money, come in because they knew they had a reservation for the AFC Championship at least. So now we all know, whether we talk to Darius Thomas, whether we talk to Marquise Cole, whether we talk to former players that have left and gone and played there, they say it's miserable and they were winning.
Isn't that hilarious?
So now I'm saying with the losing and now the fact that you can't make your reservation for at least the AFC Championship, you won't be able to attract those players that are play for less money because they're not paying for less money knowing that they may be miserable and they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl or it's not a guarantee. With Tom Brady, you knew you always had a chance.
I think the question is, Rex, is what you said.
You're exactly right. Like, guys, this is, you talk about a roller coaster. This thing ain't going to be, it's going straight down. And that's what drives me crazy about the Jets. Here's an opportunity. You got a team that's clearly on the way down. Clearly on the way down, and they're going to stay down. And for you to be where you're at makes no sense to me. That's why I thought they'd be way more competitive this year and be able to challenge. Like, God, Buffalo's no world beater. If we would have been, if we would have had our old Jet teams, we would have beat the hell out of those teams. They can't stop the run. So to me, it's like this is the opportunity you've been waiting for years. And for whatever dang reason, the Jets are just awful right now. So I don't know. Dang.
Because it's like that, do you speed up the process next year where maybe you're thinking 2 years you're going to try and win? Do you go all in? This is what I'm saying. They have money, Rex, at the time where people are going to be sellers because
of a million draft picks.
What I'm saying is because the salary cap is dropping next year. Jets are going to have more money with the salary cap dropping, so guys aren't going to be able to sign their players. They won't be able to hold on to them. You know what I mean? I say in a couple of years, they're going to go out and get Baby Zeus, right? I think they can go out and be competitive for Zach Ertz. They can go out and try and get Kenny Galladay or Juju Smith-Schuster. What I'm saying is they can turn this thing around a lot faster because they're the only team. Not that they have to set the market. They just have to be willing to spend a little bit more than the other teams, which the other teams aren't going to be willing to spend a lot because they don't have a lot. Because they already have players that are making a crap load of money.
Yeah, the Jets can turn this around in a New York minute if they hire the right guy. I definitely believe that. You're going to get a great quarterback. Hell, look.
Does that guy have a twin?
I think he does, Bart.
Does he have a very knowledgeable former linebacker that could be slide right in?
Absolutely. But, you know, it is so funny, guys, but it's not going to happen. But the answer is obvious, but it ain't going to happen. But either way, it's, to me, get the right guy. Look, we went to an AFC championship with a rookie quarterback. It can be done, especially if that quarterback's Trevor Lawrence.
Do you feel anything, though, for the Bills? I know. Obviously, you coach there, but they're basically looking. It looks like they've locked up the division. We'll see what the Dolphins can do.
That was a one-night stand, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's you really don't seem to.
I was 500 and got fired. I get it. And there's one guy in that roster. It was so loaded when I had him, but no draft picks. I get it. But
you're impressed with them, though. You don't seem like you're impressed with what the Bills are doing.
I'm not impressed with them. You can't play run defense. So you're going to be one and out again in the playoffs. That's what it kind of looks like. And you know, to me, yes, I'm impressed with Josh Allen. I am. But I'm not impressed with their defense right now. You know, their defense going into the season, we thought would be a strength of this football team, and it hasn't been that way.
Yeah, especially their secondary. Like, you thought that they were going to be so strong, so good in the secondary, and you obviously wanted to see what Josh Allen could become. But I guess it's what you're looking at in this division, which used to be a pillow fight for the Patriots now, essentially, is that for the Bills. What about the Dolphins, though, and what they're doing? What you're seeing Brian Flores do there with Tua, although he didn't really have to have a major impact on the game, it didn't matter. They still get a win in his debut. Anything about the Dolphins that has you say, I want to keep an eye on this team?
No, absolutely. And here's the thing. Here's a group that gets it. In free agency, they went out and got two players that nobody talks about. They got the Ogba guy from Cleveland, the outside pass rusher from Oklahoma State, who's a terrific athlete. And they got Shaq Lawson from Buffalo. Okay, two guys, they kind of under-the-radar guys. Well, how are they playing right now? How are they playing on defense? They go out and they get the man cover corner because they want to be aggressive. They know what they want to do defensively. They know the identity they want. So, man, I think they already got that side of the ball fixed. And now on offense, they got to see if this Tua is the real deal. And here's the great thing. Everybody's bitching. Let's go back. You know, Fitzpatrick should be the quarterback. We know 16 years on his resume. We know the answer. He ain't the answer. He's never been to a playoff game. So they're giving this Tua get a chance. I thought it was a real gamble when they took him. I wanted Herbert instead. But at the same time, the kid's an accurate quarterback. He's not going to be long for the NFL with the injury things. We understand that. But right now, they made this move to evaluate him, but they made this move because they think he's the higher ceiling player and gives them the best chance to win moving forward.
All right, Rex, before we let you go, we always talk about the Monday night game. Tonight it happens to involve the Giants. But the player that's not playing for the Giants, I know, we all just go, oh, God.
No, I'm saying they shouldn't play nobody. They should be trying to trade any sellable piece that they can. I would put them in bubble wrap.
It's a fair
I wouldn't
point.
Play
they
nobody.
They do have any value. You're right.
But Golden Tate, nobody playing.
But as we go forward with looking at this team as well, Saquon Barkley is another interesting guy to keep an eye on because this is the knee injury for a running back, but it's more than that. The MCL was damaged. The meniscus was damaged. They still think he'll be back at some point, you know, by next season, and they're hoping so. But his fourth year in his rookie deal, they decided to take him early in a quarterback draft. What do you do going forward with this guy? Like, what is he? Is he McCaffrey or is he Gurley? Which one is he?
Well, unfortunately, nobody's going to, the value of a running back plummets greatly. You know, second year contract or second time contract guys has been shown as a mistake. You make a mistake by giving them the huge bucks afterwards. That's why I think there's going to be hesitation on the Giants' part to do so. Look, I love the kid. I think he's absolutely terrific. But at the same time, if you're a business deal, you got to make a business decision and let him play out this year or this coming up season, and then we'll see where he is health-wise after that.
Yeah, I think that's just the only thing you can do, right? It's just wait it out. But it still goes back to, like you just said, the second contract generally isn't a good contract. Well, then why would you take him at number two? Like, it still goes back to that argument from a couple of years ago, if it was the right decision by this franchise and by Dave Gettleman. So that's another debate, of course, that we have here in New York. Rex, always great to talk to you. Thanks for the time today, and we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Always good to talk to Rex. Always good to catch up with him. But I gotta be honest, though. There was one thing that kind of like that he said that stuck with me. And I didn't follow up because you don't want to put him in these weird positions. But as we were like having fun with the idea of, you know, the next head coach, and, you know, you're kind of alluding to the fact that maybe he's a guy that you'd want to talk about. He just basically said, it's not going to be me. Like, he made it pretty clear. He's like, it's not going to happen. Like, you almost sound like resigned to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he understands that they want fresh blood, and right now the candidate, the sexy choice right now is Eric Dainey. And you know, maybe they slipped into his DMs or showed up to his hotel, ate some barbecue
raising
there when they were out.
You mean the guy who was in charge of basically what was almost 500 yards of offense against the Jets?
And it was the yesterday. Most silent 500 yards. You just looked up like, oh yeah, that's right. They did give up a 41-yard touchdown. They did give up a 31-yard touchdown. Give up a 50-yard. And you add those, all right, that's about 250 right there. All right, that's sneaky in just one play. But I tell you what, you know what I mean? Like, the crazy thing is, the Jets interviewed Eric Dainey 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in the building. I know. Didn't really go anywhere. The defense, though, they didn't touch, barely touch Mahomes. They hit him three times, six pressures.
Yeah.
I mean, Quinton Williams played well. He had a couple of tackles for loss, all that stuff, and he left the game with the hamstring.
That should have been a stat. It should have been a sack. Quinton Williams, like on those great years when you're really great, you get those little those sacks. Like, yo, Mahomes was falling to the dirt and he threw it away, barely made the line of scrimmage, but if somebody close enough for them to say that. But it's crazy how you do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the way it goes.
Quinton Williams could have 6.5 sacks right now. And we'll be looking at him like, oh my God, this dude's a beast. He could be going to the Pro Bowl with those type of numbers right now from the inside.
Can I also mention,
you keep working, living right, and he'll get it.
You hope so. Can I also mention that I think I reapered Trevor Lawrence. You know what I said? You know what I said that it basically, yeah, I do think it happened. So I said last week, Trevor Lawrence, first I said foul, like, you know, he's going to have you're talking about a guy who won a championship, is going to have a Heisman, right? Like, I really feel like he was the lead dog for the Heisman all year.
Yeah.
Well, now, the story goes, he is no longer the favorite.
Who is it? Who is it? Justin Fields?
So FanDuel and DraftKings both now have, believe it or not, Mac Jones from Alabama. With Justin Fields from Ohio State right behind him.
Mac Jones.
Jones and Fields, by the way, are the co-favorites by FanDuel. DraftKings has Mac Jones on his own with Fields. Lawrence was the odds on for most of the season. Now he tested positive. He missed the game against BC this past weekend. He's going to miss. He's ruled out for Notre Dame this coming week. He was the even money guy to win the Heisman at FanDuel, and now listed at 2-1. I know. So it's amazing. I try to use my powers for good. I think I might have spoke too soon.
Well, listen, maybe
I'll still put my money on him though.
But now, if he doesn't win, he comes into the league upset with a chip on his shoulder, and it's better for us.
Okay. I like that attitude. That's a good one. All right, Giants and Bucks tonight for Monday Night Football in a division which is a disaster. The Eagles still – somebody had to win. Cowboys look so bad. What an awful Sunday night game that was. The Eagles now, by the way, 66% to win the division. The Cowboys are down to 5%. Washington's still at 27, hanging on by a thread, and the Giants are at 2%. So it doesn't really matter. Tonight, we'll give you our picks tonight. The Bucks right now, it opened at 10, Bucks minus 10, even though they're on the road. Now it's 12. So we'll discuss our picks and everything else involving that game coming up when we do lunch money. But right now we've got, you know what? Hey, let's do audio files right now, and then we'll do some calls as well. Audio files.
The audio files.
So, Bart, Justin Herbert, by the way, is another quarterback. We look at Joe Burrow, who's played really well. Joe Burrow is better than Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield might be the worst quarterback in his division, which is incredible, right? But Joe Burrow's played that well. So you have that. And then you have Justin Herbert, who's played really well for the Chargers. Anthony Lynn didn't even, like, you think about it, didn't want him. Said, like, he's not our starter, but now he's had to be his starter, and he's played very well. They keep losing, though.
It ain't his fault.
But you're right. It's the defense. And Anthony Lynn.
Between them and the Falcons, man, they should be like 8-2.
But Anthony Lynn, as you know, as the frustration builds, not happy about blowing leads and losing again.
Well, what do you want to do? Go hire new players, go hire new coaches right in the middle of the season? You can't do that. You know, this is what we have, and we got to figure this out right now.
Oh. So, not happy. What are we going to do? Just get all new players, new coaches? For some teams, some fan bases, that'd be great.
I think you know that was the knockout blow, you know what I mean? Because now, you know.
But they have a quarterback, though, don't you think?
Yeah, they do.
You think for him, though, it might be it?
No. They just gave him an extension. It's the problem is, like, they're snake bitten. I don't know. You talk about the Mets medical staff, the Yankees medical staff. They always have players that go down, major key players every year that go down, and they can't stay healthy. And it's always every year, well, what if they stay healthy? Maybe next year. And they're super talented, almost to the point where now they're shopping their lockdown cornerback.
Oh, that's interesting, too. And, oh, by the way, who does that sound like? The Yankees. Mm-hmm. Moving on. And just quick Yankee note. You see that G. Stanton decided, yeah, I'm definitely picking on my option. Like, if that was – like, if anybody put out, like, hey, breaking news, no, it's not. Can't wait. No.
They ain't trying to go out to them streets.
Hell no. All right. This is all – I want to get your take on this, too. That Saints-Bears game. You know, you got a Bears team that was 5-2, and you're like, do I trust the Bears? Then the Saints team is 4-2, and also never really has felt like have the Saints really hit a stride this year. So it was an interesting game to watch, and it really was a close game. It was a back-and-forth battle. It went to overtime. The Saints get the 26-23 win. But something happened in this game that is mind-boggling when you're on a team that is trying to contend. And that's Javon Wims. This is third quarter. It's a tie game. There's stuff on the line here. And he goes up to DJ Gardner-Johnson and just, like you said, two-piece.
Now, I didn't see the whole thing, so you have to explain it.
He just watched.
I know he hit him with two-piece, but wasn't that same dude, didn't he bully one of his other teammates?
Was it Anthony Miller?
Yeah, so he bullied him, put his hands on his face, and he punked him. But then when Debo came around, he didn't want no smoke.
Okay, Bart. In the middle of a play, you're going to break your route and walk up to a D-back and just...
I'm not. Right. I'm not. But what I'm saying is, listen, I don't agree with it. But what I'm saying is, this dude had all that smoke for Miller, poking him in the face and punking him.
Wait till the play's over.
I know, but
wait
when
for a run play and then block him. Something. He literally goes a combo... Right? Yeah,
but this is the thing.
Jab cross. But this is the thing.
He hit him the first time. He was waiting for a response.
Nothing.
He's like, oh, he's like, he ain't do nothing.
Because he
backed up to kind of hit him with a counter. But then the second one, you know, he looked up to the sky. He looked up to the heavens with the haymaker. He hit him with that one.
Did you see one of the tackles? I think it was one of the defensive tackles came in and just destroyed him.
Like, yeah, but that tells you though, what's a goon to a goblin? Because old boy was all tough guy with the other guy, but then when another guy that was equally tough with him, Bart, he wanted no smoke.
Third quarter tie game.
No! Don't do it. I understand
this ain't
that.
The place.
But listen. That dude gonna take an L because he's a fake bully. He's a fake tough guy, and he hit him with squared up. Just you and me, nobody around. What's up then? It was funny.
But you went from a 2nd and 5, because there was a completion on the play. There's 2nd and 5 on your 36 to 2nd and 20.
Yeah.
You're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, the next play, thanks. Yeah, Nick Foles, interception. It's like, couldn't have gotten even worse.
The worst sequence ever.
Oh, what a mess. Still, it was a close game. Still, they have to, you know, they do manage. That game goes to overtime. You lose, and Matt Nagy obviously not happy about this whole situation.
That's what bothers me, and that's what pisses me off, is that there is that issue still going on. Excuse my French, but we're reading it from a wristband. So I just I'm struggling with that right now, and it's getting you into a hole. It's called, you know, and so that has to change.
I don't know what the wristband thing was in reference to, but this is about discipline. Literally, like, he was just...
Yeah, probably wristband. Probably got something on their wristbands kind of remind them, hey, stay smart, be smart, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha. So they have something that they all, like a phrase that they follow to stay disciplined, and that certainly was. You went outside. Like, that's a... You could say what you want about protecting a teammate, defending a teammate, if that's what he was doing. That's a selfish play.
Yeah,
it's a selfish play, and it tells you a lot, again, about a team that... Do we trust the Bears? Do we think the Bears are what they are at 5? Nope. Fair, right? Is that fair? What would be your response to that if that was a teammate?
Bro, I never believed in the Bears. But yeah, I think the guy said he spit in his face or something.
Oh,
or
is that it?
He made up, something like that. He spit in his face.
And that's audio files, by the way. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you to them. Did you see, so Metcalf goes off, has like a great game, right? And Russell Wilson now is back to being an MVP and a hero and all that stuff. You see LeBron force his way into that conversation?
Exactly. We built different. No, LeBron, your abs don't look nothing like that. LeBron, you ain't fast like that. He's stronger than you, bigger than you, faster than you. No, LeBron. No. Like, the people that could say that was like Javon Kurse could say that. You're not built like him, dude. You don't have one ab that look like his abs.
How does he put himself? Like, it's amazing that he
we
does
built.
That.
Now you want to jump on a new freak. We built different, bro. No, you're not. Him and Aaron Donald.
Why do you have to?
Like,
why can't it just be about him? Why do you have to be part of it? I don't understand. It's like when the Dodgers win the World Series.
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
He gonna tell him start hanging out with him too. He gonna invite him to like parties and stuff.
He gonna
use that young man for all the shine he can take from him.
This week we're gonna find out if there's gonna be an NBA season. We're gonna find out this week, like, at least one that you think would start on time. Right? We're gonna find out this week. They want it to be Christmas. They want that. They're talking about, and I told you guys this last week, now it's starting to come out. We're talking about almost $500 million. A difference if you don't play. This is about ESPN and Turner saying to the NBA, if you guys aren't playing on Christmas Day, there's something in the contract that tells us we can take some money back. Because that's a big day for us. And if you don't want to play that day and you want to go to MLK Day, that's nice. But MLK Day is not the same viewership day as Christmas is. That's going to cost us a lot of money, and we're going to have to renegotiate. We're going to have to discuss. And so the owner's trying to tell the players, this is a lot of money, guys. Like, you can't leave this on the table. And if LeBron and some of the stars say, we're not going to play, that's going to be a problem. So we're going to find out this week. That'll be an interesting story, certainly, to follow up. But let's grab some calls. 800-919-3776. Chris is in Manhattan. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Specifically, Bart, you got me. The off-season plan, and I think I've tweeted this to you, and with what Bart is saying, Alan, the Jets are not running to stand still. Okay.
First up, you too.
You remember that.
But
Bart, specifically the offensive line, because I'm trying to give the quarterback the most appealing and softest landing spot, kind of like Mark Sanchez back in the day.
Yep.
So, you know, when you were talking about Joe Thuney, that's beautiful. That's music to my ears. We're going to see what Cam Clark is moving forward. Mekhi Becton is a home run. I don't know how you feel about Fant.
Bakhtiari? No, he can get out of
Bakhtiari,
there too. He can be
okay.
a swing guy. Give me Bakhtiari from Green Bay.
But the one I've been tweeting you about was Orlando Brown. Tell me more about that later. But you know me, I need some edges, bro. I need some heat. I mean, you didn't even have the edges on the outside.
We got all the smoke for you, bro, because look who's available. Because the Ravens got Yannick, that means that Judon or one of them is not going to be available. They're going to hit the market.
Exactly.
So then you got Shaq Barrett. You got Clowney.
Yep.
You got Clowney.
I don't know about Clowney. I'd rather go with, like, a Dupree, Judon, Go ahead.
Yeah, but as I'm telling you, you got Bud Dupree out there, and I'm just telling you who is available. That's five.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the San Francisco model. You draft one and you go buy one. So now that's the one that you hope that you can develop another one, but you go ahead and you buy that one, right? So if you go and you get, let's just say you get Bud Dupree, one of these guys are going to reset the market. One of them aren't. You know what I mean? So one of them aren't going to be able to set the market. One's going to be the high guy. Now, if you want to be the one that sets the market and take the high guy, then that's you. But if you want to be the one that gets the secondary guy that's going to be underneath that, then that's fine as well. You let somebody set the ceiling, and then you go ahead and you get to say, okay, well, you're not better than him, whether that's Bud Dupree, whether that's Judon, whether that's Shaq Barrett. You know what I mean? So you do that, and then you go out and draft the kid from Penn State maybe with the first round, with the draft pick if you want. You know what I mean? And then now you start working that way as well. And then you get the rest of the stuff. You got to get locked down corner.
Yes, 100%. You got, there's so many holes, obviously, but you're going to have a lot of assets, including cap space, to try to fill them, and you're hoping that the market is so tight that the advantage is to you, that you have more money than everybody else to spend.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
My favorite drops as we've got a Monday night game tonight. Giants, Bucks, Tom Brady wants to put, like, he's almost like, now it's just time to pile on Bill Belichick, right? As they keep losing and Cam looks like he's really frustrated and struggling. It's Tom Brady's chance to shine. Little Antonio Brown tonight. Gronk getting touchdowns now the last couple of games.
Man.
Why you give me the gas face?
No. Somebody just, Kawhi Alexander just got traded.
Yeah. I just was about to tell you about that. You saw that?
Bad.
Can't wait.
Yeah. He was the Niners moved him to the Saints. Fifth round pick.
Hey, that don't spell good for DeMario Davis long term.
Desmond King to the Titans for a sixth.
So it begins, baby.
Yeah, you got teams that know. Look at that. For the Niners, how tough is that division?
Yeah.
And they're all banged up. Everybody's hurt. Jimmy G hurt again.
Right.
This is the year to say, hey, we got to a Super Bowl. Let's dial it back. Right?
Yeah, man.
Live to fight another day. All right, lunch money time. So let's put our team together first, then we'll do our picks. So the team we're putting together for Daily Fantasy, pretty obvious, I think, tonight. Our MVP will be Brady.
Quarterbacks.
Yep. Mike Evans as well is going to be on that team. The flex, Ronald Jones will be on that team. And then our giant players will be
the fighting Joe Judges.
Yeah, and Golden Tate, who Bart wants to see in bubble wrap.
Please.
So we're going to put him on our team, despite the fact that...
Right. They'll run him with a reverse, and he's going to get jacked up.
Hope not. All right. Picks-wise, though, Bart. We've got Tampa laying 12 at MetLife. It's now a half? It's 12 and a half. It was 12 this morning. Boy, they're pushing a lot. It started at 10. It opened at 10 last week. And now we're at 12 and a half?
Giants defense has been solid, man.
Where are you going with this one now? 12 and a half. The last FPI I checked was like 82.6% Bucks. So I didn't realize that the line moved already. Jeez. So where are you going?
Listen, I think that, you know, people keep talking about the Jets.
Seeing 12 on ESPN,
I don't care what the number is. Tom's going to cover. This is like, Tom got that little LeBron in him, like when he wanted to make it more about him. And he saw yesterday for a fact that, you know, that the team that his ex-girlfriend, you know, married a dude that's addicted to, no, I can't say that.
Hey, phrasing!
Where were we going there?
Yeah, I was about to say, never mind. I forgot this wasn't cable.
That's funny.
Tom Brady's about to remind Bill Belichick how great he had it. You know what I mean? It's like when you see your girlfriend and, like, all of a sudden she started working out. She lost 20 pounds. She redid her hair, cut her hair. She's dressing better. You know, she dressed like she did when y'all first met. Tom's going to remind Bill Belichick, you know what I'm saying, what time it is. So he's going to be on a mission today. And it's the Pierre Paul Bowl. This is JPP.
Oh, how about
the
little JPP action, too?
Yeah, remember, that's the dude that traded me. So he's going to say, hey, I'm back with my boys. Now what's up? Now, last year when I had Jameis Winston, y'all was all about that smoke. Thought it was cute for Danny Dimes to come down there, his first start, and shine on us and run all over us and beat us. Now, guess what? I got my boy with me. He ain't going to turn the ball over five times.
You know what? With Brady, it's all about protection. We've known that since he was in New England, right? So he's pressured the lowest percentage of pressure in the NFL.
I wonder how much Tristan Wirth has to do with that in the fact that they took him instead of Andrews.
This is really what it's about.
Just Google it.
But here's what you have to keep an eye on. In the five wins, he's only been sacked twice. Right? He's gone four games without even being sacked. But in the two losses, he sacked six times. That's always been the MO with Tom Brady. So that's something, obviously, you got to keep an eye on. But in the Giants offensively, on that side of things, no Devontae Freeman, as we know, with the ankle. Will Hernandez, as we know, with the COVID. So he's out as well. But Daniel Jones, this is really what stands out to you. So you remember his debut, his welcome to the NFL, was beating the Bucks, right, in that game. So that's what you have. And since then, he has beaten only Washington. He's 0-15 against everybody else.
Oh, my.
So for Daniel Jones, like, that's something, obviously, you know, it's hanging on him right
now. They're running for the first overall pick, too. Let's not be mistaken.
Well, you're not wrong.
They're running up the rear now. Like, we don't see too many wins on air. Yeah. We don't see too many wins on their schedule. Maybe one or two.
To make it clear, you're taking the Bucs in the 12.5, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, I am as well. Yeah, I am as well. To make it official, you and I are 2-0 so far in the weekend. Let's see if we can do a little better. By the way, as part of that deal, there was Kiko Alonso was also in that deal. Yeah, with the fifth.
They never liked him. They always
So it's more than just giving up a pick. It's they're moving a player as well. So that's what's happening on that front. But tomorrow, 4:00 trade deadline, obviously election day as well. Go to Bart and Han to pick your favorite team. We have our own election going on. We'll move it on. The winners will move on tomorrow to a full election to who the most popular team on our show is in New York. Until then, Bart, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.